shall live, the just shall live by faith. Before we read and study, may we bow together in prayer. Our Father and our God, we give thee praise again tonight for he who is the most wondrous gift of all, even the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, Father, that the love of God is commended toward us in that while we were yet sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ died for us. And Father, we do thank thee for the fact that thy Holy Spirit did impress us with the fact that we were sinners and showed us a Savior who died for us that we might have eternal life. We thank thee, Father, for all thy wondrous grace bestowed upon us. Father, we pray thee with most sincerity tonight that we may never tire of singing the gospel story. We, Father, may never lose the thrill of being a Christian, that, Father, we might remember the pit from whence we have been digged. Father, may we never become so familiar with it that it will become trite unto us. But, Father, may we always be in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, and refreshingly so. Father, we pray to this end tonight that thou shalt refresh us now in the things of thyself and the Word of God in this closing meeting of this specific conference. Father, we pray thee above all thy Holy Spirit shall find it easy to work in our hearts and in our minds tonight, that everything foreign and alien to this meeting, however legitimate it might be elsewhere, might be put from our attention, that the Holy Spirit might have the full scope of our attention. Father, we ask thee to minister to our hearts through the Word, whatever our specific spiritual condition might be. If there is one here, Father, who does not know Christ as Savior, speak to that one concerning salvation. For those of us, Father, that may be discouraged or despondent or anxious or in need of a physical touch, Father, we ask thee that thou shalt again be unto us our all-sufficient God. Now, Father, we do commend the remainder of the meeting to thee and the eternal outcome of it, asking that thou shalt speak to our own hearts through the Word of God. And thine shall be the praise for that which is accomplished, for we do pray it in Christ's name and for his sake alone. Amen. The just shall live by faith, found in the second chapter of Habakkuk. Habakkuk says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Martin Luther, back a little before 1517, was in the city of Rome over in Italy on a pilgrimage. Martin Luther was a monk doing penance, and he was doing penance by going up on his knees, step by step, up a certain stone staircase called St. Stephen's Staircase. And as he went up on his knees, as he halted upon each step, he would say, as part of his penance, the just shall live by faith. He got partway up the staircase, and finally the word began to sink into his consciousness. And he stopped, and he said, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. He said, if this is true, then what am I doing this for? And he stood up, went back down St. Stephen's Staircase, and the whole Protestant Reformation movement was born. The just shall live by faith. Now, brethren, this is a wonderful text that will come readily to mind if you are ever chosen or are called upon to speak with no preparation beforehand. If someone says, we're glad to have Brother so-and-so in our midst, and we don't have a speaker, and the Lord has sent him our way for this specific time, over which you may put a big question mark yourself, and now after the next song, Brother so-and-so will speak, and they'll sing the shortest song in the book, and you're on your own. Here you go, up here. This is a wonderful text to remember, because there's at least five different messages that you can get from it. You can emphasize each one of five different words in it, and get an entirely different slant from these six words. The just shall live by faith.
All right, you can bring in a salvation message, can't you? Who is it that's going to live this way? The one who is just. Who is the one that's just? The one that's been to Sunday school all of his life? No, the one that's been justified because of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ who was raised for our justification. You can emphasize the subject and bring in a salvation message. Or take the next word. The just shall. Well, now there's some assurance, isn't it? Do you have folks perhaps there that aren't sure today whether they're saved? One day they feel saved, the next day they don't feel saved. Does somebody need a bit of encouragement? A bit of grounding in the things of the Lord? All right then, emphasize this particular word. The just shall. There's your assurance. Or are you going to speak about progress in the Christian life? The just shall live. Emphasize that word. For the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Young folks especially think that being a Christian is the deadest, dullest thing in the world. You always have to wear a black suit and drive a black car. You can't ever read a newspaper or look at a television program. You can never go on a picnic, never go on vacation. You can't ever laugh. You can't ever tell a joke. And it's all right for somebody breathing their last, but not for anybody that's vitally and dynamically alive. Jesus says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. You won't begin to live until you give your heart and your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll see things in this world you never did see before. The sunset and the sunrise will be prettier views than ever before. Folks that you couldn't stand before will suddenly become your bosom buddies. Emphasize the verb, the just shall live. The just shall live by faith. How does he get to be a just one? Through the exercise of faith. The just shall live by faith. Not good works, not something else, but faith. Now we offer that free of charge tonight. If you ever caught and don't have anything to say, you can't put the blame on me. There's five different messages I've given you out of six different words. The just shall live by faith. Now how is it used here? Here it is used, you see, concerning patience. So if you're ever out of sorts, if you're ever out of patience, if you're ever wondering when and how the Lord is ever going to work, think of Habakkuk. He had the same problem as did you. And the Holy Spirit revealed to him, the just shall live by his faith. Now look at this. There is a certain thing for which Habakkuk is looking. God has told him here in the Word that the Chaldeans will come down and punish the folks, but then the Lord will also send judgment upon the Chaldeans. And Habakkuk knows this to be true by the Holy Spirit of God. Now he says a wondrous thing is going to occur. The Lord promises. He says the vision is coming. It's a wondrous thing. I promise that it's going to come. And when it comes, it'll be the most wondrous thing that you've ever experienced. Not only do I want you to experience it yourself, but I want you to write the thing down upon tables so that it will be plain enough so that he who runs by may read the word put thereupon. Now, the vision is coming. And twice the Lord says to Habakkuk, though it tarry, it's on its way, wait for it, don't be impatient, don't be discouraged, the vision is coming. The day has been appointed, and it is coming. Now you and I, in this age of grace, in the church age, are looking most ardently for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see Israel coming to the forefront. We see Israel having been born on a day. I don't believe more prophecy has ever been fulfilled in anyone's generation than it has in yours and in mine. The last 60 years have been full of prophecy and the fulfillment thereof. And you and I are privileged to live in this age. Now we long for the return of the Lord, and we hear men using the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in vain, swearing and cursing. We see a world that's totally dedicated to self and to sin. And sometimes we wish, oh Lord, if you would only show yourself to a godless world so that they might see, so that they might know that this is the true word of God. We sometimes say with the Old Testament prophet, oh, that thou wouldst rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. But yet it all seems to be silence. We know that the thing is coming. The rapture is on its way. And the Lord says, be patient. It's coming. There's an appointed time. Go and tarry. Don't become fretful. Don't become impatient. Slow and tarry. You just wait for it. You wait for it as it comes. Faith, then, believes the vision. Now, something else that's noted here. God says to Habakkuk, in the middle part of verse number 3, he says, the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. He says, now you're going to wait maybe a long time for the fulfillment of this that I have promised to you. But he says, when it comes, you won't be disappointed in it. It will more than meet all of your expectations. The Old Testament prophet said, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. And Paul takes up that same verse and by the Holy Spirit adds something to it. Eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him, but these things have been revealed unto us by the Holy Spirit. But have you ever tried to explain to somebody what heaven is like? When you go through all of the descriptions of what the Bible says heaven is like, do you feel as if you have fully described what it's like? No, I don't think so. I never have. I don't think the Lord Jesus did. He said it's like this. It's like that. It's like something else. Lord, have you fully explained? No. Because I have to reduce heavenly truth into earthly language so that you can understand it. And so he says, when it does come, you will not be disappointed in it. It will not lie. You won't be looking for something big and receive something small. When it does come, it will not lie. But now you notice also, it has a little bit of warning in this. In verse 4, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. What's it speaking of? The two ways and the two destinies. Here it's speaking of one man whose heart is filled with pride, and pride has always been the downfall, not only of mankind, but also of Lucifer. Thine heart was lifted up when you said, I will be like the Most High, so God says to Lucifer, you recall. When your heart was lifted up in pride, Satan then coming to Eve and says, you know why God doesn't like you to partake of the forbidden fruit? Because then you'll be on a plane with him. Then you know what is the difference between good and evil. Then ye shall be as God. And when she saw that the fruit was good to make one wise, she partook of it and gave unto her husband to eat. Again it was pride. The devil came to the Lord Jesus Christ on the Mount of Temptation and said, make these stones into bread. Cast yourself from the pinnacle of the temple. Fall down and worship me, and I will give you all the kingdoms of the earth. Again it was pride. What can I do for me? What good will I get out of it? How is it advantageous to me? Pride has always been the downfall of every person, beginning with Lucifer, and right straight on through mankind's generations up to this present day. I never like to catalog sins. I don't like to say these are little sins, and these are big sins, or these are real bad, and these are not so bad, or trying to catalog all these sorts of things. The whole thing stems from pride. The whole thing stems from pride. He whose heart is lifted up in him receives the admonition and the warning, but the just shall live by his faith. Brethren, though the vision tarries, wait for it will come. And when it comes, you will not be disappointed in it. The Lord says, the time is appointed. They came to Jesus and said, when is the season? When are the times? It is not given unto you to know the times nor the seasons, but my Father who is in heaven. It's already set on God's calendar. And every day that you and I live, it comes that much closer. And the just shall live by his faith. There shall be no disappointment concerning that particular time. Then, as you notice, it skips over to the book of Romans, chapter number 1, and verse number 17, and the same verse is repeated again. In Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 17, Paul here quotes it in a little bit different context. He says in Romans 1:16, that verse is so familiar to us, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now here he's not speaking of some believer looking for some long promise covenant from God and exercising patience and faith until he receives this promise. But now here he is speaking concerning pardon. First it was faith and patience, now it's become faith and pardon. And he couples it together with verse number 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Literally it means, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because I am afraid that I will ever find some situation in which it will not work. He says, I am not ashamed of it, not because some people call it a bloody religion, nor because the Lord Jesus Christ is rejected today, but he says, I am not ashamed of it for fear that I will try to apply it to some situation and find that it will not work. He says it will work in any given situation. I need never fear that I will ever meet somebody that will say, this is the situation of my life, and the gospel helped me, and I will have to say, I'm sorry, but I think yours is a hopeless case. No, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I know that it is applicable in any given situation, in every individual life. I am not ashamed of it, because the just shall live by his faith. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. God's righteousness revealed through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the one who desires salvation believes upon this which God has prepared for him. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Love always gives. How do I know that what Jesus has done is efficacious? How do I know that I'm not believing in some fairy tale tonight? Because it must be acceptable with God, because he is the one who has sent the Savior. The Savior has been crucified. He died upon the cross. He was buried. He rose again the third day, and he ascended back into the heaven from which God sent him. Now, if God receives him back in his own right hand, then I know that God has accepted this that Jesus has done. So I know it's safe then to commit my eternal destiny unto the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that God has received him. Therefore, in him, God must receive me. Herein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith unto faith, the just shall live by faith. Now the book of Romans was Martin Luther's favorite book, and you can see why. If this is the verse through which the Holy Spirit spoke to his sinful heart so that he turned unto God and was saved, you can see how Romans, in which this verse is now found, would be his favorite. And you can see why he would call Romans the most important book in the Bible. You may also see why he called the epistle of James a right strawy epistle. Because it seemed to Martin Luther as if James was advocating you could be saved by works. And this is the verse that brought Martin Luther to the Lord. So he discarded the doctrine found in James' book by the same Holy Spirit, thinking it was incompatible with this that he found in the book of Romans. The just shall live by faith. How does a person get saved? By faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not of works, lest any man should boast, but we put our faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when Jesus expired upon the cross, the last word he said, recorded in our English Bible, it is finished. But I understand in the original Greek it's just one word, literally finished. Jesus said, finished, and he expired. He commended his spirit into the hands of God, his Father. The finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if I want to work my way to heaven, where am I going to fit my works into that? If Jesus said finished, where am I going to stick my stuff into it? Where am I going to put my good works? Where am I going to put my baptismal certificate? Where am I going to put my perfect Sunday school attendance record? Where am I going to put the good character and the descendancy from a godly home? There's no place that Jesus has left open for me to put anything of my own nature therein. Jesus says it is finished and the case is closed. And so it is revealed, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, the just shall live by faith. If there's one here tonight that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. God has done it all. The Lord Jesus Christ has executed it all, and the Holy Spirit today administers it all. You simply must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be saved. The just shall live by faith. So here then is faith as regards pardon. Now you notice also there is another time that is mentioned in the book of Galatians and in chapter number 3. In Galatians 3, verse number 11, the Holy Spirit implants it again into the pen of the Apostle Paul. Galatians 3:11. Let me read first of all from 10, because this is the context in which it is found. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Now we've had faith and patience, faith and pardon. Now we have faith and practice. Shall I work my way into the kingdom? Shall I work my way into salvation? All right, maybe I am saved by faith. But how do I stay saved? By practice? It seems incongruous for me to believe that if I'm saved by something that the Lord Jesus Christ does, why should I continue to be saved by something that I do? And here Paul brings out the argument by the Holy Spirit using the same verse he used in salvation, you see, in Romans. Here he says, all right, I'm speaking now to somebody who says he can work his way to heaven. All right, he says to this person, now remember now what the law says. The Bible says, cursed is everyone that does not continue in all points of the law to do them. Now here he might bring in, again, the word found in the Word of God. If a man breaks one law, he is guilty of breaking all. A man doesn't have to commit murder to be a lawbreaker. He just has to run the stop sign out here on the main highway, and he's broken a law. Now, if you're trying to live by works, you've got to be perfect in all of those works, and who is? No one. There's only one that ever lived, the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, I do always those things that please him. These folks that worship on Saturday ought to go back and do everything in the Old Testament. If they're going to keep the Old Testament Sabbath, they ought to do everything in the Old Testament, blood sacrifices and everything. If they're going to work by the law, they're going to have to keep the whole law, every bit of it. I remember one time a preacher dealing with a young teenage boy, and he said, son, are you saved? And the boy says, no, sir. And he said, would you like to be? And the boy said, well, I would if I needed to be, but I don't need to be. And he said, well, that's interesting. How did you arrive at this conclusion? And he said, well, I've never done anything really bad. I never did anything that warranted salvation. And he said, is that so? And the boy went on to say, yes, I came from a godly home. I've never sworn. I've never gone here. I've never gone there. I've never done this. I've never done that. Everybody says I'm a fine, decent, respectable boy. I'm welcome in almost everybody's home. I've never found anything that I need salvation from. And so the man pointed him to the gospel by Matthew. When the man came to the Lord Jesus Christ and said, what is the greatest commandment of all? And the Lord Jesus Christ said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. And the preacher said to the young man, you see this? He says, yes. He says, what's the great commandment? He said, well, according to Matthew, it's you're supposed to love the Lord with everything you've got. He said, that's right. Now, if that's the great commandment, what do you suppose is the greatest sin? Well, I suppose if that's a great commandment, the greatest sin would be not to love the Lord with every fiber of your being. And he says, can you truthfully tell me tonight that you have always loved the Lord with every fiber of your being? And he says, no, sir, honestly, I'll have to say that I have not loved the Lord with every fiber of my being. He said, well, if this is the greatest commandment and you've broken it, you must have committed the greatest sin there is. Isn't this true? The young boy says, yes, sir, and I see that I need to be saved. And the preacher was able to point him to the Lord Jesus that very moment. And so it is mentioned here. If you've dedicated yourself to working yourself into heaven, you better not fail to do one least thing of the law, or, as the word says, cursed is he that continueth not in all things of the law to do them. But immediately Paul throws out that argument. For who can do this? The just shall live by faith. It is said of Benjamin Franklin that one day he sat down and said, now I'm going to do a little something here. By the exercise of my own willpower, I'm going to become proficient in the keeping of all 10 commandments, and I'm going to begin with the first one. But he found that he was not very far along before he'd forgotten the first one again. And he gave it up as a total loss. He says, while I'm working on one, I neglect this one over here. While I'm keeping the first two, I'm breaking this one and that one and the other one. And he gave the whole thing up as long. He found the same thing that was true in Paul's argument here. There's only one way to be saved. There's only one way to continue to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is the just shall live by faith. And so it's pointed out to us here in the book of Galatians. The last thing is pointed out to us, which brings us near to our own day and time, and that is in the book of Hebrews and in chapter number 10. The book of Hebrews, chapter number 10, verse number 38. Hebrews 10:38. Here again, it seems to be a re-echoing of the words with which we started from the book of Habakkuk. In verse number 37, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Habakkuk was looking for a vision, and the Lord said, it shall not tarry. The saint today is looking for a person, and God tells him again, he will not tarry. He that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Here again it is pointed out, and brethren, we have almost come full circle. Started out in the book of the minor prophet Habakkuk, who was looking for something from God, and God cheered his heart, saying, don't become impatient, look for it, it will tarry, it will not tarry, it will come, and you will receive no disappointment when it does get here, but remember the just shall live by his faith. And now God speaks to the saint in this age who is looking for the rapture of the church, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, and for the first time to look upon him as our Savior. And the Lord says, be encouraged, saints. Continue to work, continue to serve, continue to remain encouraged. He says, because he who shall come will come and will not tarry. And remember, the just shall live by faith. Still looking for something, or in this case, someone whom God has promised unto us. But why is it mentioned in here about drawing back unto perdition? The Lord Jesus Christ said, any man having put his hand to the plow and turneth back is not fit. Not fit for the kingdom. And so the same admonition is brought out here. This is that which gives us the assurance. As the writer says here, but we are not of those that turn back. We've tried the old way. We know there's nothing in it. We know there's nothing in it, and the Lord has given us eternal life. What would we turn back for? Will ye also go away? Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the word of eternal life. Lord, I've tried that way. There's nothing in it for me. This is the way to follow. I am not one who turns back unto perdition. We follow on. We're not ones who are simply encouraged for a little moment, or who have had a religious experience, or whose hearts have been stirred emotionally for a little while, or who have been caught up in the enthusiasm of a revival campaign. But when the enthusiasm is gone, or when the emotional experience is gone, slip back into the old ways. No, we've been born again. He said no to the old life. And truly we have experienced that which God has said would be true. When a man is born again, he is a new creature in Christ Jesus. The old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. We are not those that turn back unto perdition, but continue on, even to the saving of the soul. And how are we to be encouraged? The just shall live by faith. What a wonderful, simple little statement. Again, as we said this morning, God often says things that we would not say, and probably vice versa. Now here again, if God had asked us to write a critique that would encourage a believer, whether he was lacking in patience, or whether he needed salvation, or whether he was worried about the practice of his godly life, or whether it was someone who was looking for the near return of the Lord Jesus. Now, he says this critique has got to match all of these problems. What kind of a critique would you and I write? Probably, as John said in the close of his gospel, if all the books were written, the whole world would not be able to contain them. My, wouldn't we wax eloquent? Wouldn't reams of paper be used as we thought we had to explain and differentiate and all of these other things? But look at the Lord's salvation of the six words. The just shall live by faith. Is it pardon you want tonight? The just shall live by faith. You need some patience because of some personal promise that the Lord has made you. Maybe over the salvation of a loved one. Maybe over something about your later years. The Lord's made a covenant with you personally that this thing shall be done, but so far you haven't seen the doing of it. Is there some word of encouragement you need tonight in a personal way? Alright, the same answer. The just shall live by faith. Are you worried about the practice of the Christian life? Are you doing that which the Lord would have you to do? Are you being obedient unto the will of God? The same thing again, the just shall live by faith. Many times as we grow older, then the coming of the Lord means ever more to us than it did before. And as the years go along and our loved ones in the Lord slip away from us, we have a more of a personal interest in heaven than we have ever had before, apart from the Lord himself. And we long for that time, and that world seems to be coming ever increasingly closer to this one. He says, alright, are you looking for the rapture of the church? Do you become more disgusted with life as you see it around about you in your society today? The same motto, the same answer, the same statement over and over and over again, the just shall live by faith. How simply God does it. And you would say to the Sunday school class, girls, boys, do you understand what God said in this little statement? Would somebody explain it to me? And I dare say they could. They'd use different words, they'd paraphrase it, but I think they could get across to you the gist of the thought which God has in those two short words, the just shall live by faith. What a wonderful statement. What a wonderfully godly motto that fits any emergency of life, whether saved or unsaved. Pardon, patience, looking for the promise, whatever it might be, the just shall live by faith. Brethren, may we continue to do so until the Lord comes to receive us unto himself, either by the rapture or by the experience of death, and we see him face to face. May the just live by their faith. May we stand now for a closing prayer. Our Father, we do give thee praise tonight for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are thrilled when we think in the book of Hebrews we read that he is not ashamed to call them his brethren. We thank thee, Father, for this one that sticketh closer than a brother. Father, we thank thee for this one who has said unto us, follow me, come along and be my companions in the way. Father, we thank thee for these meetings that we have had together. We thank thee for the discussion of the Word of God. We thank thee, Father, for the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the freedom with which to deliver the message laid upon our heart. Father, we do thank thee that we in this country on this 4th of July night have freedom to gather in a public meeting such as this and recount the blessings which thou hast given unto us. Father, we ask thee that thou shalt once again seal the word unto our hearts. Keep us encouraged, we pray thee, in the things of thyself. May we not become weary in well-doing, but know that in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Give us strength, Father, we pray thee, as our day is. Be with us in our various ministries. Father, may we see souls saved
and Christians brought into a closer relationship and walk with Thee. We commend, Father, the eternal outcome of the meetings unto Thee, praying it all with much thanksgiving in the wondrous name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for His sake alone. Amen.